Good to see you. Good afternoon, SIF. Yes, and those online, I can see you in the spirit. So good afternoon. All right. So welcome, everyone. It's a joy. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, isn't it? And so it's a joy for us to come together. Right? And if you're here for the first time, you're welcome. Here at SIF, we are believing Christians, right? We come together, not for any man, but for him, live, and who is to come. And so I'm very glad that you are here. And so over the past 2 weeks, we've been working on a series called The Gift. The Gift. Now, notice that it is without an S. Aha. It is without an S. So the focus here is on the gift that has been spoken of some 700 years before he was born by Isaiah. Isaiah said, Isaiah 9, I think we all know that, isn't it? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So that gift is what we've been talking about. So over the past 2 weeks, we've been working on this series. We've talked about in Matthew's gospel that we've been using, we've talked about the presence or gift with the S that we brought to him. And we read all our reading in a while's time about the frankincense, about the gold and the myrrh. So let's tease our brain for a second. So we heard about the frankincense. Anyone remember what that means? Frankincense. Nolan wants to say something, isn't he? All right. Okay. The frankincense that we're told tells us about the high priestly role of our gift, the Christ himself. And the gold last week. Do you remember anyone? Okay, I know this is not a class, all right? So the goal is about the kingship. Thank you, Lisa. The kingship of Christ. But you may ask, why do we care about all of this if we are talking about the gift? Well, I believe the present that we brought to him a demonstration or give us a lead into the reason for the gift. Sometimes you give a gift to somebody. Or oftentimes we do. And the reason why we do that is because we cherish this person, maybe our children or friends. So by unpacking or going deeper into each of these presents or gifts that were brought to Christ, we are able to have a deeper appreciation of the gift without the S. All right. Before I pray, I just want us to have a, does this work? Oh, I have to own it. Sorry. Ah, good. Okay. Oh, it's making some sound. All right. Good. All right. So a recap from last 2 weeks. The frankincense or the frankincense will represent is a symbolism of the high priestly role of Christ. If you want to have a deeper appreciation of this, the Levitical priesthood requires that the priest make daily sacrifice and burnt offerings and sin offering. And once a year, that high priest have to come to the holiest of holies, bringing blood, not of himself, but of another, bulls, to cleanse the people of their sin. But this high priest, our Lord Jesus, he did it once and for all. So being our high priest, he dealt with our sins by offering himself, going to the holiest of holies, not made of hands, but the ones that is in heaven. And he dealt with our sin. Why do we care about that? Well, it restored us. It restored us back to our priesthood. Maybe you may not appreciate that, but see how in the book of Revelations, I don't have that on my slide, but Revelation 5, verse 9, I love it. And they, talking about the four elders, the four creatures and the 24 elders, they sang a new song in heaven. What song was that? Well, this is the song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. And out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, do you hear that? Tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Is he worthy of the blessing and honor of, and glory? Is he worthy of all this? This song was sung because of what he did as our high priest. And we've been challenged, we've been called upon to bring to him because of what he did. Now that we've been restored, we can come to him with a practical worship. To live in obedience. Be a living sacrifice. Romans 12 tells us that I beseech you now, therefore, brethren, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. And we can share faith. And last week, we were taught about the gold. The gold is what? The kingship of Christ. Reuben said, he's a king like no other. In what way? Well, he fulfilled all the scriptures that was spoken about him. Rode on a donkey, cleansed the temple, healed, and show an affection to children in a way that kings in his days would not do. He's a king like no other. And we've been called upon to respond. Are we going to oppose him like Herod? Are we going to dismiss him like the priest? Or are we going to put him at the back like the innkeeper? I believe our response, just like the major, or the major, is to fall down and to worship. Develop a relationship with him, commune with him, meditate on his word. And today we'll be wrapping up this series, I believe. Thought I would just say amen and we are done, but we still have one more, isn't it? All right, so come with me in prayer. Father, we are so thankful to you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy towards us. Thank you for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which we have access and boldness to come before you, O God. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, O God, for your word that is active and living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing bones and marrows and spirit and soul. Thank you for your word that in you we move, we live, and have our being, O God. As your word come forth, O Father, may you speak to us. May you encourage us, strengthen us, empower us, O God, with your word. We thank you, O God, and we just open our heart to you, God, that your word will flow and flourish in our hearts. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Did I do something? Okay, great. So how about we start off today with a popular, as I told you, Isaiah, right? We'll be reading Isaiah. So how about that? Isaiah 9, verse 6. For some reason, I cannot see clearly. But for unto us a child is born. It's unto us a son is given. Pay attention to that. A son is given. The divine nature of it. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. So meditate on that. And for the series that we've been on, our go-to verse, obviously there are other scriptures, but this sort of just what we want to pass across as a church. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where he who was born king of the Jews? Wow. The purpose for the birth was wrapped in the birth. Amazing. Born king. That is amazing. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When they saw the star they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. What do they do? They offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When I was meditating on the verse and asking the Lord to just feed me, because it's not just about passing a message, the same word have to work in my life as well. When I was looking at that, I said, wow, they fall down, which we know, they worship him. How about opening of their treasures? Could that also be part of worship? You may say, how, Kingsley? Well, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Are you opening your heart? I'll come back to that. Now let's talk about the myrrh for a second. So, well, my specialty is not in botany, but I did a little bit of research here. so let's do some tree stuff here, isn't it? Okay. So for the frankincense and the myrrh, they are actually raisins of a tree. They come the gum of a tree, right? So both of them come from tree raisins or gums. And what happens is that usually to get this, you need to make an incision or a cut pierce into the tree at a particular time of the year. And whatever oozes, the gum that oozes, that's where we get this beautiful spices. I understand that the mixture of the myrrh and the frankincense can be, I haven't smelled it myself, but the it's just the fragrance is just wonderful. I will be coming back to show us or to link this to something that is also in scripture. These trees have to be pierced, an incision have to be made to get them. So you may ask, so what are the uses of this myrrh? And what does the myrrh represent? It was just mentioned that they brought it to Christ. Why are we making a big deal out of it? Well, sometimes or oftentimes the use of something tells you sometimes the meaning of that, isn't it? So when Christ was born, the myrrh was brought as part of the gift. The purpose of myrrh in biblical times, and I believe now as well, is used for perfume. A couple of verses here you can see it. It's also used as part of anointing oil in Exodus, for example, the altar, for instance, myrrh was part of that. Cosmetics, when Esther was, not my Esther, Esther in the Bible, when Esther was preparing herself to present to come before King Ahasuerus, she used myrrh was part of the spices that she used to adorn or to, how do you call it, wash in myrrh and all of that. It has a healing property as well. It's used as an antiseptic, pain-killing ingredient as well, and chiefly it's also used to embalm bodies, dead bodies. So scriptures are there for us. We can take our time, go to our website, and I'm sure you can just have this slide and check it out for yourself. So these are some of the uses of myrrh. But today it's not about talking of all the uses of myrrh. We're going to narrow that down to what that tells us about our gift, Christ, and how that applies to us as followers of him. Now, you will find it interesting to know that the myrrh appears only 3 times in the New Testament. In fact, myrrh has been used in the entire script, the Bible, about 17 times in 16 verses. But in the New Testament, it appears only 3 times and appears when Christ was born, as we read, and it appears when Christ was on the cross. In Mark chapter 15, it says that then they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is translated the place of skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. This place, myrrh, is being used as a painkiller. But your king decided to bear, to take the full brunt of the pain on the cross by himself. Now you may say, but this is Christmas. Why is he talking about Christ on the cross? Well, you see, the season is Christmas, but the reason for the season is his death. In fact, the scriptures in New Testament, I believe more than 80% of it is devoted to his death and resurrection, not the couple, the death, resurrection from the birth. If we understand what it means by his death, we will appreciate his birth. And so these are not messages. It's all wrapped in one. The one who is born king is also the one who died for you and for me. And so here we saw that myrrh has been used as a painkiller, but Christ did not take it. Now I wonder, in our own life, is there a place of pain that you might be going through? Maybe you've applied some myrrh and they are not. Still, the place is still hurtful. Well, I want to encourage you to look up unto him. He bore all that pain. And so if you come to him and open up that place to him, he's able to heal. He's able to give you the relief that you need, because he did not conquer the grave in spite of suffering. He conquered the grave through suffering, through pain. The next time myrrh appeared in the New Testament, or the third time it appeared, has to do with when Christ's body was taken down. Look at that. John 19 says, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, but about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with the spices. What spices, you ask? The myrrh is part of that. As the custom of the Jew is to bury. Now think about it. 3 times myrrh appeared in the book of Matthew. Not my friend, here. In the book, the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark, John. Coincidence? I don't believe that. No scripture is a coincidence. Why 3 times? Why in Matthew, in Mark, and in John? Think about it. Matthew speaks of Jesus as the King of the Jews, the King. Mark speaks of Jesus as the Sabbath, sacrifice and service. John speaks of Jesus, deity. He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. In these 3 different Gospels, King, Servant, and God, the myrrh appeared. What is the message? I think Bible didn't say this, but I think that what God is telling us, what the scriptures is telling us, is that the same king that Matthew talked about in Peter is the high priest, is the suffering servant that died on the cross for us. And again, he's the same Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the everlasting God. The King, the high priest who suffered, is also the risen Lord, an everlasting God. So the mirror, as we saw, is a symbolism of his suffering, the suffering servant. The suffering servant, the sacrificial lamb, the one who paid the price. Where to go to when it comes to suffering servant? Isaiah foretold this precisely. I love Isaiah 53. In fact, I love everything about it, but obviously because of time, I didn't put everything here, but look at that. I'm not sure, for some reason, is it clear to everyone? Well, over here, it's not very clear to me, but anyway. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should behold, that we should desire him. You're talking about the baby, the king that was born. How come? Read on. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, I love it when scripture says surely. It got to be surely. If he says sure, it's sure. Scripture says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Oh, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Oh, I love that. And by his stripes, we are healed. Think about that. By his stripes, we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The reason for the birth is this. Our iniquities upon him was laid. Why? Why? He shall see the labor of his soul and heal and be satisfied by his knowledge. Let's pause there for a second. By his knowledge. Are we walking in that knowledge? Are we meditating on that knowledge? I believe all of us here have received him. If you have not, do you know him? By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Brothers and sisters, yes, it's Christmas. It's not the death of Christ. But until we appreciate, we appropriate this, we will not be able to appreciate what Christmas is. On earth, or on this part of the kingdom, we segregate things. But I believe in his kingdom that will be coming soon, it's all joined together. Wounded. Bruise, chastise, and there is a healing in all of that. What an incredible Savior. Now you may say, but Kingsley, all that you're talking about are just in the Old Testament. Yes, I agree. But you see, the old is what the new covered. The new is the old revealed. In Psalms 22, Jesus, a prophecy was given, and I love it. Well, as you can see, it seems I love every scripture. Well, I love it. Look at that. It says, Psalms 22 start by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus speaking. Or as we knew in the New Testament, we heard Jesus using the same words. Look at 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of my joint. My heart is like wax. It melted within me. My strength is dried up like a poor shirt. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. What an accurate prophecy of him. But what does that mean to us? I thought we have a new covenant. The new covenant was possible because of what he did. And see how Paul put it here. I love it. See how Paul put it here. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. God presented him. The myrrh, the suffering servant, is also the sacrificial lamb. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Have you received him? You say yes. Are you walking in him? To be received by faith, not of works, not of looks, not of self-righteousness, by faith to be received. He did this. Why? Why did he do that? He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed before hand unpunished. Other version says he has passed over former sins, and all of that was laid on this gift, this one man, our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what word to say, but again to say, and I love this verse as well. It says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us that whilst we were yet sinners, whilst we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait for you to clean up your mess before he did it. He did not wait for you to get it all figured out before he did it. He did it anyway. And now that gift is the reason why we are here today. That gift is the reason for our celebration of his birth. We say Advent. Advent means the coming. Latin word is coming. Numbers 2:24, I believe, was a prophecy given by Balaam. I saw him coming. This king is here. Why all of that? Why all of that? Because of one thing. Why the sacrifice? Why? He did all of that so that we might have what? The gift of righteousness. It's the gift that keep on giving. The gift of righteousness. The myrrh, frankincense, the gold. It was the gift of righteousness. Look at what scripture says. Paul, again, writing. He said, for he, God, made Christ, him who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's a gift. There's an exchange that happened that you and I deserve God's punishment. But Christ did that for us. And God have made him who knew no sin, no deceit in his mouth. He was made sin on our behalf, on our account, and his righteousness was now credited. This is an accounting term here. It was credited to our account. Romans, Paul again. I love it when Paul put forth arguments, obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look at how he put it. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Who is the one? He's talking about Adam. the one who sinned the first, Adam here. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. I know these are big words, and we'll not go into that in the sermon today. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, the Adam, much more, I like that, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. You see, the call to obey, the call will and to do, therefore work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, since it's he who's working in us the will and even the power to live in obedience still rests on him. Hebrew put it nicely, says he's the author and the finish of our faith. What does all of that mean? Yes, he's self-sacrificial lamb. Yes, he's a suffering servant, as you've explained to me. Yes, the mare means that he suffered. So I have the gift of abundance of grace and gift of righteousness then. Okay, well, I think there's a call here. You know why we do invitations? Well, I don't know about you, but last week we were supposed to have a faculty dinner and it was canceled. I was a little bit angry with that. You know, how about that? It was an invitation. Some of you have your invitations canceled, isn't it? But there's one invitation that will never be canceled, no matter the, Silas just told us we are in a 2.0. Whether we have 2.0 or 2.1, there is one invitation that is standing. That invitation does not depend on COVID. Does not depend on travel codes or red code or blue code or red standing, and it rests on one and only one man. And that invitation, everything now is to a close. It's an invitation. In Christmas, we invite people, isn't it? Why? Have you thought about, we just invite people? But why do we invite people a lot during Christmas? Could it be that because he first invited us? It's a message of invitation. It's a season of invitation. Now, don't feel bad and say, oh, Kingsley, I didn't invite anybody. Oh, I'm in trouble here. No, I don't mean that way. I'm not speaking, about whether you've invited someone or why I didn't invite anybody either. Okay? It's a season of invitation. And today, I think the God of message, it's an invitation to you and to me. Three of that. It's an invitation into a deeper relationship with him. You say, but Kingsley, I already know him. Yes. Go from knowledge to knowledge. Getting to know him better. Meditating on his word. It's an invitation, as I said, into a deeper relationship with him. How is our walk with him? How is my walk? How is your walk with him? If you haven't known him yet, you are trying to check us out. Well, good news. Good to have you here. There's an invitation. You as well. See what scripture says. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received. Have you received him? Are you walking in deep relationship with him? Meditating on his word, giving him the number one place. Now you may say, but Kingsley, no, I don't think that is for me. I still need to sort a lot of things out. I don't know. My ears are very small, so I'm struggling here. So you may say, well, Kingsley, I think it's not for me. Well, this is a passage for you here. Maybe that will encourage you. But therefore, when it's in Christ, she is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I don't know about you, but I remember who I was. And I can see how Christ is giving my life to Christ, walking with me. Not one day change, but every day, seeing how I'm growing in him. And I fall, I go back up. And say, Lord, here I am again. Again, I don't know about you, but I've been doing that. Here I am again. I thought I got it all, but here I am again. I just heard your word, but it's a relationship, daily communion with you. Going on that verse, it says that now we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you. On Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is a very powerful account, but Matthew will tell us more of that. Be reconciled to God. God has already ensured that he's already paid, the price has been paid. And all that we need to do is to accept it and come into communion with him in obedience, walk with him. Have you received it? You're walking in step with him. Second invitation, I think, is an invitation to worship. So this Christmas, perhaps this season, yours is an invitation of a deeper relationship. You know, I know. Maybe that's not yours. Maybe yours is worship. Why worship? You mean just sing a song? Well, that's part of it, but it goes beyond that. You mean just fall down on your knees? Yes, part of it, but that's not all. Let's go back. As I promise you, I'll be back to this verse again. Look at what they did. Fell down, worshiped, and when they opened their treasures, let's camp a little bit on that. I mentioned earlier that Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Where is your heart? Where is my heart? Are you opening? The Magi, they opened their treasures. They opened their treasures before him in worship. The falling down is great. The worshiping is great. But part of the worship also includes the opening of your treasure, your heart. Where is it? You may say, but they brought gold. I don't have gold. Well, you see, gold speaks of what? Of some grandeur, something very expensive, unique. I don't know. Could it be something that you're holding on to? So precious, so priceless that you say, no, Lord, this one is mine. Well, they brought the gold. Are you bringing that aspect to God? Frankincense, precious. Could be our family. Could be our job. It's so precious. It's so, the fragrance is so nice. This one is mine. They brought their frankincense. Are you bringing those areas as well that you think they have? I got it all settled. Are you bringing that aspect as well? How about the mirror? How about the mirror? The mirror helps us, it numbs pain. Are you using your own strategy to numb areas of pain in your life? God is inviting you to bring that aspect as well. I remember in my own life, struggling with a place of pain at work. I won't go into details, but it was painful. I asked my care group to. Care groups are great, people. Join care groups. I asked my care group to pray with me on that. They did, but I did not go straight away. I thought that hurt, that area of hurt, I thought I was being humiliated. I thought I was being spoken to in a way that is unacceptable, and I wanted to take it by my own. And I keep on bringing it before the Lord. The Lord, give me grace. Give me grace. I was asking the Lord. And guess what? It took 2 weeks. And so it's not like I pray and then God says, Kingsley, wow, that's amazing. No, it took time, but I keep bringing it because I feel I don't have the peace to go and confront. But it's very painful. So I was asking the Lord and looking into scriptures. And guess what? One day I was reading scriptures, Proverbs, I remember very well, Proverbs 19, verse 11. I thought that my honor or glory has been dented on. How dare you talk to me that way? But God is amazing. Look at that. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. I was angry about that. And his glory is to overlook an offense. Oh, wow. I want to go and confront. And God said, no, no, no. If you overlook it, that rather is glory. I said, God. Now, I'm not saying that when things you need to collect things that you should not. You can do that. But in this situation concerning my place of pain, God needed me to surrender that. I don't know your place of pain. I don't know that area that you've been using your own strategy to numb it. Will you bring it before the Lord? Look at this. And the 24 elders fall down before him who sit on the throne and worship, who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Crowns speak of power. Crowns speak of what? Of honor. But they cast it. Are you casting your area of crowns before him? Lastly, God is inviting us to fix our eyes on him. This is very important because sometimes it is easy to be in a relationship and then do your own thing. But this relationship, you see, what Christ has done is such that, as Hebrew put it, we do not have a high priest who does not sympathize with us. We have one just like us, was tempted in all ways, but yet without sin. Therefore, we can boldly, confidently come before him to receive mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares. The Lord is inviting you to fix your eyes on him. I will end with this. But I promise you that this mirror, the incision, the cutting of it, to get the sap. For me, it's analogous to what he said here, that he was wounded. He was pierced. By his stripes, we are healed. You see, the mirror is just a plan made by him. You may be applying that to some things, but true healing comes by believing and walking and worshiping in the power of him who died and rose again. May the Lord cause us to remember that he is the one that deserves all the honor. And may you be encouraged to enter into a relationship with him if you have not. And if you're already in, may you continue to press on. Join a care group. Let's pray for each of them. Offer him worship. Don't forget to open your treasure as well. And may we fix our eyes on him. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, that we can look to you. For you are our King, our High Priest, and the one who paid the price of suffering. Said. But we thank you for your word. We pray that you will cause us to remember to come to you, God. Look to you, God, to bring you worship. We give you all honor and all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.